chasing healing when I've been made well. I was fighting battles when you conquered hell, living free but from a prison cell. Lord, I'll lay it down today. So I'll stop living off of how I feel, start standing on your truth revealed. Jesus is my strength, my shield, and he will never fail me. Cause all you've ever wanted, all you've ever wanted, all you've ever wanted was my heart. The freedom's off the rope, my chains have all been broken, but live this love that's called me from the start. All you wanted was my
Some people only care about themselves.
No one cares about your stupid vacation.
Some people treat others poorly.
Do we have anarchy? There's certain things that are right and there's certain things that are wrong. So don't believe all this foolishness. Everybody.
Some people only care about being right. Some people don't seem worth the time. But the truth is, most people are just working to get by. Most people are terrified to reveal their scars. Most people are fighting an invisible battle.
Sir, you forgot a bag.
Most people are worth the effort because all people are created in the image of God.
Where's my pillow?
All people carry the glow of the divine. All people matter enough for God to become one of them. God thinks every person is worthy of love. Imagine if we did too. Let's be a church where everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect. And anything is possible.
Thank you. matter how far I never am alone. If made up my mind. I'm never going back. I'm never going back. Yeah, I've made up my mind. I'm never going back. I'm never going back.
Sing it again.
My soul is in the waiting. Is in the waiting.
never failing.
Triumph of foes is never failing. It's never failing. to the God of everything. Sing to him with everything you are. Sing your own song. There are no perfect words. Just sing what's on your heart. Just tell the Lord how much you love him.
say something real quick. You know, if you're in this place this morning and you call yourself unworthy, you call yourself unclean, you call yourself unsavable, you feel like you've gotten to the point where you're unrecognizable, let me tell you something. You might not know your name, but the Lord knows your name. He says your name is redeemed. He says your name is forgiven. He says your name is worthy. He says your name is clean, made new, refreshed, made whole. And you have to accept that for yourself. Sometimes we hold ourselves down by speaking negativity over ourselves. But we've got to start building ourselves up. Start saying, look, I'm clean. I'm not addicted anymore. I'm refreshed. I'm made whole. Just speak that over yourself. Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I might not know my name, but you do, Lord. God, remind me of my name. Remind me that I'm clean because of your name, Lord. Because of the name of Jesus, I'm made whole. I'm made new. I'm refreshed. I'm clean. I am worthy. You don't have to accept those name tags that people put on you. You can rip it off and say, I'm not that. The Lord knows my name.
aren't you glad that he knows your name this morning? Give him a praise in the sanctuary. Hallelujah. He knows your name, and not only that, he knows every circumstance in your life. Everything that you've gone through in 2018, he was not unaware, but he was right there with you in the midst of it. And today, the last Sunday in 2018, he deserves a high praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? He's been so good to us. And not all of us had a great 2018. We serve a God that loves us so much that he's about to introduce a new year, new opportunities, new mercies. I thank God for a new year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we would like to welcome you to Carpenter Shop Church. Father, we thank you for this, your people. And we thank you, God, for new mercies, new opportunities. God, we praise you that you know our names and you love us. And we honor you today. Thank you for your presence in this room, here to meet every single need. God, to heal us, to deliver us. We thank you today for being God right by yourself. And we worship you today. Hallelujah. God, we thank you now for new mercies. We thank you for all that you are. God, all that you're doing. And God, we thank you that you've not forgotten about us. You know every situation and every circumstance, and we thank you for that today. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. Give them a praise. Hallelujah. Do we have any visitors in the building today? Any visitors? Thank you. Thank you so much. Come to shout. We have some visitors. Let's give them a hand. We thank you for coming to worship with us today. At the end of service, if you would, please meet us at the back at the Welcome Center. We have a gift for you. I would like to announce that the ushers will be passing around some clipboards this morning. If you haven't already signed, please put your name, your email address, and your telephone number on there. Fill out that information. And now it's offering time in the building. Hallelujah. An opportunity to give back some of what God has blessed us with. We thank God for that today. In the hands of the ushers, praise him as you give.
breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe.
Job seeing a wonderful job by the praise team this morning. It's always encouraging to see our youth, you know, come up and participate and be a part of the service. You know, for some of you, you couldn't even imagine standing on this stage, and I know what it takes to stand up here. I never saw myself even stand up here talking to you either, so I applaud them for the courage that it takes to come up and do that. Let's give her a hand again. Christmas is behind us and New Year's is fast approaching. Some of you are scratching your head trying to figure out how in the world are you going to pay for all that stuff you just bought at Christmas time. You know, and if I took a little poll in the room, if I said, raise your hand in this room right now if you think you're rich. Raise your hand if you think you're rich. Right now I see only about 2 hands, 3 hands. There's some coming up, 4 hands. Right. Here's your tendency. Before you raise your hand, you look over here. See, you're going to see if this guy's going to raise his hand. If this guy's going to raise their hand because, you know, you're comparing yourself to them. If they're rich, maybe you're rich, right? Well, you know, we put a lot of stock in stuff in this world. And Christmas time, we buy a lot of things. We want to make sure our kids have, you know, the nicest things and whatever they want. And our friends and our loved ones. I took this same poll upstairs with your kids a few weeks back. I said, raise your hand if you're rich. No one raised their hand, of course. And I said, what does it take? You know, what does it mean to be rich? And they told me about, you know, well, you have this thing and that thing, a nice car or a big house or whatever it is. And so, you know, I fed into them. I said, you know, that's not really what it means to be rich. And we started talking about having a house, you know, a shelter that God has provided and having a family and most importantly, of course, having Jesus in your heart. You know, that's the things that bring value to you. And it took so many times. I mean, we went over about 10 different times. Raise your hand if you're rich. Every you know, I get one more hand. Down to one kid, right? He did not want to raise his hand. I said, raise your hand if you're rich. Everybody raised their hand but this one. I said, you don't think you're rich? No, I'm the poorest kid on the block. Right? That's what he just knew he was poor. And I looked. He had brand new shoes on. I said, man, I like those shoes you got on. How long you had those? 2 days. Had them 2 days. So, you know, we impress on our kids, you know, what is important. And I just want to challenge parents on this new year to make sure that you are not setting the worth for your family and how much you have, how many things you have. Make sure that you're feeding into your kids the true value and the true worth is in their heart in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So with that word, I'll dismiss the kids. Parents, please take your kids to the check-in table and pick them up at the end of service. Thank you.
A brand new hope is forming. Adventure, take me there. It's a new day for me. I feel it in my bones. I feel alive. I am set free. It's a new day for me. And nothing in this world will interfere. This is my year. I've been watching closely now. Been looking for a sign. And I can feel inside of me. This season is mine.
Come on, how many of you believe it's your year? Come on. Come on. I think already the Holy Spirit has set a platform up for us to recognize that it's really not about what happened this past year. It's really what lies before you. Amen? It's what lies before you. This is my year. How many of you can just stand and praise the Lord this morning one more time before we bring the word for God's sustaining power? Come on. God's keeping power. Amen? No, you may not have had everything go just like you wanted it to go, but you're here this morning, you're alive this morning, and that's a strong indication that God is not finished with you yet. Amen? Come on, somebody say, this is my year. Amen? It's my year. The next chapter, the next mile of the journey, you can be seated. I want to speak to you this last Sunday of 2018. A message that I've simply titled, Out with the Trash. Amen? Out with the trash. Some things to clean up before the new year starts. Amen? Let's pray for just a moment. Father, I thank you for the reality that we have come into this house today to worship you. I thank you, God, that you've spoken to our hearts, our minds, our spirit. We're prepared, Lord, to receive. I pray that you would position us to hear your word right now. That you would posture us, Lord, to receive from your spirit. That you would place us, God, in a place of reception and receiving today. Our minds are open. Our spirits are open. Our inner man is open. Our mental faculties, God, we open them now, Lord, to receive from you. I come against any distraction right now. The wandering of the mind, the thinking, the cell phone. I come against those things in Jesus' name. And I'm asking you, Lord, to deposit your word into our mind, our spirit man, our intellect. Father, we take a position of preparing ourselves for life-changing altercations today. Decisions to rid ourselves, Lord, of the trash that's in our life. Some of those things that just need to be tossed. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's that time of year. We just witnessed when, you know, just a few days ago, the treasure underneath your tree became the trash. How many of you know that it's beautiful when you look at the tree and you see all of those lovely gifts and everything's wrapped up really nice and wonderful, and then before you know it, you know, somebody's getting up and grabbing a trash bag. And isn't it amazing how somebody in the family is always the trash collector? Come on, you got one of those in your family? They just run and get a big old Glad bag and start pushing it in. Nobody asked them to. It's OCD time. Come on. Nobody asked them to, but the trash had become the treasure. The treasure had become the trash. That beautiful picture, that beautiful present, all of those beautiful bows and everything. I remember my grandma, she used to fight over them things. She's picking them up while people trying to throw them away. And because what you didn't know is she was going to use those same bows next year. You know, the kind that you peeled off the sticky thing on the back and just stuck it right there. Come on. Come on. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Those little sticky bows. And she was going to use those things over and over and over again. And these past few days in your city, in your village, in your hamlet, wherever you live, in these past few days, it's been trash time as workers, utility workers, probably dreaded to go back to work because, you know, they got so much of your stuff. They got boxes, they got styrofoam, they got paper, they got packaging, they got Christmas trees, they got old toys that nobody wants anymore. They toss them out, they got broken stuff, damaged stuff. They're picking up all this stuff. And how many of you know that when you go to your place where you dump your trash, when you get there, what's happened? It's already full. Because people have been throwing stuff away. You know, even here at the church, sometimes, you know, we have a dumpster here. We pay for that thing every month. And it's very frustrating. You know, we don't have a lot of trash around here, thank the Lord. But it's very frustrating when you get ready to go to a dumpster that you paid for, you open the lid, and guess what? It's slammed full. And you look in there, and it's the neighborhood stuff. Okay, come on, it is. I've actually sat in my office. You see, what people don't know is my office window is right there. And sometimes I'll hear a noise, and I'll look, and there's somebody from the carpenter shop throwing their Christmas tree in the church dumpster. Come on. I'm tempted to open the door and say, hey, throw it in your own dumpster. But I didn't. I just said, Lord, you're speaking to me, okay? It's time to throw the trash away. Can I just submit to you this morning that the same is true of our lives? The same is true of our lives. You know, we've come to a transitional time. This is a transitional time in the year. This week when we turn the page. Now, I had a couple of people, not a lot. Hey, we're having a watch night service. If you've been sitting under our ministry for very long, you know we don't do watch night services. Because I'm of the opinion that I don't care what you're doing at midnight on the last day of the year. God knows what your posture is going to be January 1, 2, 3, 4, February, March, May. You ain't impressing God one bit by hanging out till 12 o'clock at the church speaking in tongues. Come on. You're not. We're not having a watch night? No. Get on your knees in your own house. You want to drag the preacher all the way over to the church just so he can minister to you one more time before the clock strikes midnight. Go home and pray. Amen? So I listened to enough rattle about it for a few years. We started having them, and guess what? Nobody came. The only people that were here were from other churches. Okay? At least when you sit under our ministry, you know how we feel. Come on, somebody. We need to take some trash and throw it out in our lives. Amen? I've been hanging out in the book of Ephesians. How many of y'all love the book of Ephesians? I've been hanging out in Ephesians these last several days of the week, and just reading some encouraging word from the book of Ephesians, one of Paul's premier letters in the New Testament. So I want you to turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter number 4, and we're going to look at chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. And for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to just read all these verses. I'm just going to go through them and let the word do the preaching. Is that all right? So Paul has written this letter here to the church at Ephesus, one of his best. I love Philippians. I love Ephesians. I love all those books that Paul wrote. But Ephesians, to me, is one of Paul's crown letters. It's one of his really, really good letters because you learn so much in there. And I love Ephesians because Paul addresses his gifts to the body, his gifts to the church. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, where along about verse 11 and 12, it's where Paul says, listen, he gave some to be what? Apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists. And Paul tells us that these are ministry gifts that are called by God for a specific purpose. And what does he tell us that the purpose is? If you read verse 12, he says, the purpose is so that the body of Christ, the people of God, the church, if you will, can be equipped for works of service so that they might be built up. And in verse number 13, it says, built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. The church has a deficiency in mature people. We have a lot of whiners, we have a lot of babies, we have a lot of folk who get upset about the least little thing, but what we need in the church today, I'm not talking about carpenter shop, I'm talking about the church as a whole. We need mature believers, but guess what? Nobody wants to be discipled. I mean, look who's here this morning. Some of y'all hadn't come to a Wednesday night service all year long. Some of you hadn't gotten involved in a small group. You don't go to a Bible. You got opportunities. If you want to get beyond the weekend and you can go to Bible study. You can go to small groups. You can go to different kinds of gatherings and engage yourself in discipleship. It's a learning process. How long will I be in it before I become the Christian that God wants me to be? Well, you'll probably reach that point when we're standing in the front of the church looking at you in a box saying, you know what? Don't he just look just like himself? You're always going to be in discipleship. Every one of us. But yes, guess what? You can reach a place in your life where we see Christian maturity. Paul talks about this. He says, if you allow the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist to equip you, That's what we're doing this morning. You're here this morning not because you didn't come here this morning because you just needed a place to find a cup of coffee and a biscuit. You didn't come here this morning because, you know, you just, hey, I can't make it this week if I can't just hear one more song from our worship team. You didn't come here this morning because, you know what, if I don't hear Wallace Phillips, I think I'm going to hell. That's not why you're here. You're here so that you can be inspired and encouraged and equipped. The Bible says here that the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist is a ministry gift to you to equip you. Equip you for what? So that you can learn how to serve. You can learn how to serve. We have people in our church, thank God, you know, somebody asked me, you know, just this past week, they said, man, how do you do what you do? They said, you got all these churches in the Assemblies of God, all these pastors and that are calling on you, even outside the Assemblies of God, all these other ministries that are always asking you, calling on you, needing an ear, needing someone just to sit together with them heart to heart, breast to breast, share the truths of their life and what's going on. How do you do this? And you know what I said? Have an effective team. Have an effective team of people who are working and serving like ants behind the scenes. You know what time I got here this morning? Just a few minutes before 10. There's times that I don't get here till right at 10 o'clock. That means the building is open. That means it's comfortable. That means everything's working. It's turned on. Biscuits are done. Coffee's dropping. Everything is happening right. Why? Because we have people who've been equipped in the body of Christ so that they can perform works of service. Somebody's in the nursery right now cleaning a diaper, praise the Lord. Somebody's back there doing something. Why? Because they've been equipped by works of service. By an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. People who have unique giftings. You know what I like? I like when you have a man or woman of God that have just pieces and portions and anointings of each one of those mantles flowing in their life. But what we have is a world today where everybody's going around claiming something. I'm prophet so-and-so. You ain't prophesying nothing. What you prophesied never came to pass. Shut up. I'm an apostle. I had one of my friends correct me on that. Hey, pastor, how you doing? It's apostle. And you ain't apostling nothing. You got your family in the church, 10 or 15 of you, and nobody else will go over there. And if you listen to one of their services, you'll understand why. But you're an apostle. Have you been like Paul? Have you had your hind parts kicked? Have you been left for dead? Have you been thrown out to die? No, you're not an apostle. You're a wannabe. Somebody say, welcome 2019. We just want to get ready. That's just the truth. Listen, if you've got to tell somebody that you're an apostle, chances are you're probably not. If you've got to tell somebody that you're a prophet, chances are you're probably not. If you've got to tell somebody that you're in charge of something, chances are you're probably not in charge. But some people just want to be the big fish in the small bowl. Can I just get a few things off my chest today as we go along here? Okay? Ephesians is a powerful book, and it tells us that there's a need for us to be discipled. It tells us there's a need for us to be unified in our faith in God. It tells us that there's a need for us to move on toward maturity, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Somebody say, build me, Lord. Build me up. Build me up, prepare me, equip me, establish me, nurture me. Prepare me for what's coming next, because you know what, honey? It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Things on this terra firma, this planet Earth, are going to get worse. And you better be ready to face anything that comes down the system here. I love what the NIV translators have done. The New International Version translators have placed headings in the Bible. How many of y'all follow those headings? You come to a place in this Ephesians chapter number 4 where he talks about the unity of the faith in the first portion of it. Then about halfway down the chapter, chapter 4, he has a subtitle there that he's titled Instructions for Christian Living. How many of y'all know how we respond to instructions? Come on. Have you ever been a wife who has gotten something and you said, honey, would you please put this together for me? And that rascal just looks at it and says, yeah, piece of cake. He takes it out. First thing he does is finds the instructions and then sets them over to the side. Then he starts putting this contraption together, and he ends up with just as many parts as he used sitting on the floor. The thing doesn't look like the picture on the box, and he's scratching his head wondering what in the world has gone wrong. And then she comes over, anointed of the Holy Ghost, and says, did you follow the instructions? And what does he say? Like an idiot, no, I don't need the instructions. Well, looking at this versus what the picture looks like on the box, bud, you need some instructions and some glasses too. We kind of do like that with the Christian life too if we're not careful. Instructions for Christian living. You get Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. This is what he says. He says, you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off the old self. Think about this, church. Put off the old self. What is the old self? The old self is that individual that came to the page when you met Christ for the first time in your life. You are now to put off the old self, which, by the way, he says in this parenthetical statement here, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. There's not a person in this room that has not been challenged with deceitful desires. That means the person that you are when nobody else is around. The real you. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great revivalist of the 19th century, who said, character is what you do when you're alone. That's the real you. And he says here that we are to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23, and we are to be made new in the attitude. Where does this Christian walk start? It starts in your mind. Thank you, Joyce Meyer. Her book is still selling over and over and over again, The Battlefield of the Mind, because in the mind is where it starts. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You have to make a choice, and choices come. Yes, the heart is involved because the heart has been touched, but the mind has a tremendous responsibility, and our military system says that a mind is what? A terrible thing to waste. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. He says in verse 24, not only do you put off the old self, but you put on the new self. And then here's another parenthetical statement, comma, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Not some fake version of righteousness and holiness that puts gloves on and a nice suit and looks righteous. Come on now. We got a lot of people who dress the part. Somebody's probably saying this morning, I wonder why that guy's got that cap on. Why do these ladies have these humongous hats that you have to put in a box in the attic somewhere because the room in the house ain't big enough to hold your big head hats? My mama used to wear them things. I said, man, Easter, she'd pull out this thing. I said, what in the world is that? Looks like birds could land up there. But she only did it on Easter. Oh, that's my Easter hat. Now we get upset because somebody's got something on their head. You ought to pull that hat off. You ought to pull your shoes off. You ought to take your coat off. No, you come as you are. Because he doesn't look on the outside. He looks in the heart. Amen? If I was a hat person, I'd have a hat on. But my wife can tell you, don't touch my hair. Okay? You say, Pastor, you ain't got a whole lot of hair now. No, I don't. But what I have got, don't touch it. Okay? Therefore, I do also not like anything on my hair. I'm not a hat person, okay? I've got a bunch of brand new hats that people have given me. I got more NC State hats than you can put in a truck because I don't wear hats. People give me a hat. Oh, nice hat. Thank you. I thought you loved NC State. Yeah, nice hat. I hang it in the closet. Okay? So if you want a nice NC State cap, see me after the church. $10. You do want me to be wise in my dealings, don't you? We are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness, not some false righteousness that dresses up and looks righteous. I know a lot of people who wear all the exterior, but their heart's not right. You got everything on the outside looking good, but the inside doesn't look right. And God's concerned about the inside. That's why Paul is teaching us here that the Christian life involves something. That's a huge word here. We don't hear it very much from the pulpit anymore, but it involves sanctification. Somebody say that. Sanctification. And sanctification, whether you know it or not, is an act of separating yourself from that which is over here and moving to this new thing over here that is right and better. It is turning loose something and taking on the new. This is what he's talking about here. And let me tell you something. It is both instantaneous, it means it happens, pow, just like that, and progressive. That means for those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you got saved. When you got saved, he ripped some stuff out of you. I've heard people say that before, man. I'll tell you what, after I got Jesus, I never drank another drop in my life. Yeah, but you cuss like a sailor, okay? Okay? You ain't drinking, but you still talking nasty. Okay? Then the other person will say, well, you know what? Since I got saved, man, the Lord cleaned my language up. Okay? But yeah, but your attitude stinks, okay? He cleaned your language up. You still get mad, fly off the handle. You just don't use cuss words. Bless your stinking heart. So there's a process, sanctification. Some things are taken from you, pow, just like that. When you gave your life to Jesus, some things are left as residue. Are y'all getting this? Some things are left as residue, and you have to do what Paul said, put off, put it off, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be made new. Where does it start? In my mind. I've made up my mind. We sang it this morning. I'm never going back. I'm never going back. Listen to what you sing. I've made up my mind. I'm never going back. I'm never doing Egypt again because I've tasted the promised land. Okay? Sanctification is instantaneous and progressive. Paul said this. He said, I die daily. Okay? Some things just got tossed in the trash when you became a Christian, but in other words, you were transformed and stuff died, but there are some things that take a process. They're not instantaneous. They're progressive. That's why Paul is saying in his passage that you are to put off the old, take on the new. In other words, your walk with Christ should be producing in you every passing day a nature that is becoming more like Christ. That's why you call yourself a what? Christian. Christian means to be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is. It means to be Christ-like. We get it from the Bible. Where were the first believers from that were called Christians? Come on, Christians. Antioch, thank you. Who said that, Mac? That's it. The first believers in the Bible who were referred to as Christians were from Antioch. Who were the Christians that were more notable in the Word of God? Where were they from? Come on, Christians. Berea. They were the ones who were known for knowing the Word of God. It's all in the book, okay? We have to avail ourselves and become discipled so that we know the answers to these things. When someone has a question for the hope that is within you, you better have the answer. Paul says in his passage, you take off the old, you put on the new. So Paul speaks to us after this general statement. You know, we're looking down here in the book of Ephesians, and then there's this general statement about putting off the old and taking on the new. Then he starts to say, let me illustrate. I don't like this part. But this is what he says. Look at verse 25. Therefore, you see, that's a good teaching moment right there. Whenever you see the word in the Bible, therefore, if you just stop right there and go back and read the verses ahead of it, you would say, this is why I'm saying this. Therefore, each of you, who's he writing to? Non-believers? No. He's writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to folk who've called themselves followers of Jesus, Christ followers. He said, therefore, every one of you, you are to put off falsehood. Somebody say lies. Put off your lies. Stop lying to your neighbor, man. He lived next to you. He know you. He know you're lying. For we're members of the body. He says, put off falsehoods. In the Bible, you know, we may not like it, but Revelation 21, verse 18, it says this. All liars, somebody say all liars, will have their part in the lake of fire. I just read you a verse from the Bible. It said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You telling me the truth? Started as kids. You telling me the truth? Yes. Are you telling me the truth? Yes. Are you telling me the truth? No. If you'll get there by the third time, okay, why did you ask your child, are you telling me the truth? Because you know them. And their response was written all over them face, that little face, that they were lying to you. Okay? That's why we have polygraph testing. People get hooked up to it, and the needle's going, like, you know, have you ever taken a polygraph test, anybody? I have several times in my jobs in the secular world. I took a polygraph test. Anybody else taking a polygraph test? Okay. You know what they ask you. What's your name? Is your name Wallace Phillips? Yes. Do you live at 200 Choan Trail, Eatonton, North Carolina? Yes. Are you 5 feet, 10 inches, 155 pounds? Yes. Oh, 157, excuse me, I got it wrong. Now, what they do is they condition your mind and ask you questions that undoubtedly the answer is embedded in your spirit, and you know the answer, and so your central nervous system is not affected when you speak the answer. But when they ask you a question and you choose to lie about it, then the needle goes crazy. Everything inside of you changes, and it lets the polygraph tester know this person's lying to me. Okay? I had an occasion to manage a store several years ago in Eatonton, a shoe show. I opened the one here in Ahoskie. I was the district supervisor for shoe show for several years. And I had a great employee in the Eatonton store. I trusted her, man. She was just a blast on the floor working with people, selling shoes. She always wanted to work, you know, and this and that and the other. And so as the regional director came by and did inventory and stuff like that, he said, man, you're way off on your inventory. I said, what? He said, yeah, you're off. He said, you got a lot of stuff missing. I said, man, come on. He said, yeah, you do. He said, have you got trustworthy people working here? I said, yeah. I said, I do. He said, well, vice president of the company says we're going to polygraph test on the Eatonton store, and Mr. Phillips, you're the manager, so you'll be tested too. I said, ain't no big deal. I'll be tested. So I was tested. My assistant manager, this girl I thought so much of, she was tested. The other store clerks were tested. And at the end of the day, I'll never forget it, he comes, calls me to the back. He says, come back to the back. I go back in the office, and he says, well, I found out which one it was, your inventory problem. I said, are you kidding? He said, no, and he called her name. I said, man, you got to be kidding. I said, how is she stealing shoes? He said, well, she broke down after I took the test with her, and she finally just broke down and started crying and said, she said, am I going to get in trouble? What's going to happen here? But he said, she started to tell me the truth. And he said, she has her whole family to come into the store, and she assists them in changing, trying on shoes. And what she's doing with them is, you think they're just trying them on and later going to make a purchase. He said, they're walking out, with shoes in their handbag, shoes on their feet, and nothing ever gets rung up. And so your inventory is being taken by the inside by one of your employees. Pastor Joy, you remember that. I was so shocked. I never, ever thought that this girl would take anything. But you know what? She lied about it, okay? Until the pressure of the polygraph came on further and further, and she finally told the truth. You have to put off lies. You can't lie. The Bible says that liars go to hell. That was weak, guys. I said the Bible said that liars go to hell. You need to toss the lies in the trash and purpose in your heart to tell the truth. Okay? Just tell the truth. Verse 26 and 27. Here's another one. I'm sorry, but this is what it is. These are the examples that are coming from the page of Paul's writings here to the church, not the outside world, the church. He says, secondly, in your anger, do not sin. Now just stop right there. What does that mean? That means that you will do what? You will get angry, okay? It's not a problem to get angry. The problem comes in is what you do when you are angry. I remember James Dobson, the great Christian psychologist, said one time, he said, listen, if your wife makes you that mad, he said, when you feel that coming on, he said, go out of the back door of the house, stop by the shed, grab an axe, and head to the woods. He said, find yourself a tree and work on it. But don't touch her. Okay? Can I confess something to y'all? There's been times when I slipped away and said, I hate this! Ah! I'm so mad, I don't know what to do. And then I push that pressure relief, and I come back to the scene. Pops, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. What were you mad at? None of your business, okay? I just got mad, okay? There's nothing wrong with anger. In your anger, do not sin. And he says, listen, he puts something here to take it a step further. He says, matter of fact, man, don't you let the sun go down while you're still mad. You get it straight. I don't care if you have to, listen, you get up out of the bed, we're going to get this straight, baby, before we go to sleep. You get it straight before you go to bed. Because verse 27, if you don't, verse 27 tells you that, listen, I'm not doing the preaching today. The word's doing the preaching, okay? The Bible says, and do not give the devil a foothold. If you go to bed angry, if you hold this anger every day, day after day, week after week, month after month, you're holding this anger. You know what you're doing? You're giving Satan himself permission to have a stronghold on your life, come in and be part of the rulership of your life. So he says, you need to deal with anger. You need to close out this year. If some of you here this morning and you struggle with anger, you say, man, he read my mail. No, the Word of God read your mail. If you're struggling with anger, I bid you, I beg you, I plead with you, come to the altar this morning and toss it in the trash and say, Father, I admit that I have an issue with anger. One of my favorite movies was Anger Management. You ought to watch that. Anybody ever seen Anger Management? That's a funny movie. Go home and watch it this afternoon. Say, the Holy Spirit told me through the pastor to go watch this movie. Okay? Anger Management. We have to be careful because anger will open the door for the devil. Anger The next thing is you get a nasty mouth when you get angry. You cuss. Then flying dishes. Then holes in the drywall. Then a bloody nose. Then you call the law. Then you're in jail. Why? Because you were angry and the devil got a foothold. If you'd have just taken care of the anger first. Paul is prophesying over you that if you don't deal with anger, it becomes a door that will swing wide open and say, "Welcome, Satan, to my domain." You got to deal with anger. Got to deal with it. Some of you sitting here this morning, I know you got to deal with it. You say, "Why?" Because I know people. I've walked up on folks who go to this church in the middle of a fight. I've had folks fight in my office. I have. I sat there with a married couple one day in my office, and I let them just duke it out. I did. They just fussed. They cussed. Look at me. "Sorry, Pastor." And then stepped right on back cussing again. Just cuss. Keep on cussing. And after what seemed like an eternity goes by, I'm just sitting there in my chair getting paid, you know. "Oh, thank God for this job. Praise the Lord for being a pastor." I could be over at Nucor sweating like a dog, you know. So I look at the couple and I say, "Are y'all done?" And they say, "Yeah." And as God is my witness, I've done that several times in my life in ministry, just let folks duke it out. I say, "Are y'all done?" I say, "Yeah." I said, "Well, do you feel better?" "Yeah." Now they start crying. "Now I got to sit here and watch you snot for 30 minutes. Okay. What does the Bible say? In your anger, do not sin. Jesus got mad. Okay. And the furthest he took it was to take his heel and turn the table over and say, "Listen, this is a house of prayer." Okay? Okay? And then I guess he just walked away. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really give us indicators of what happened next. He says, "This is a place of prayer." And you turn it into a shopping mall. Does it bother him? But he didn't hurt anybody. Okay? And he didn't cuss out anybody. So you got to deal with the issues of anger and toss it in the trash, or it'll become a door. It's demonic, in case you want to know. It's demonic. "I can't believe he said that. These are Christians." I said it's a demon. Okay? "Well, I didn't think Christians could be possessed by demons." I didn't say possessed. But you can sure be influenced and oppressed and bothered and messed with by demon spirits all the time. Okay? So what is responsible for the anger that you're going through? Demonic spirits. And you need to take authority over those things, cast them out, throw that stuff in the trash, and get on with life and living the way Christ intended. In your anger, don't sin. Verse 28. "I wish you'd stop this, Pastor. I'm just reading the Bible." Okay? Anyone who's been stealing. Okay? Welcome to the last service of the year. Thieves, okay? "Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer." Did you steal to do your tax papers so you could get a big refund? It's just like taking the money. "Well, the government's got enough money." That doesn't, listen, it doesn't make it right for you to lie on the papers so you can get a bigger refund. Hello? He says, "Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but do what? Work. Do something useful with those hands rather than have sticky fingers and steal stuff, that you may have something to share with other people." He says, listen, if you do this thing right, I'll bless you so much you'll have an abundance and you'll give stuff away. Not steal, you'll give stuff away. Stop stealing. Christians, stop stealing. "Well, I never stole anything." Yes, you have. You falsified documents. You borrowed a pen that you never returned. "Can I use your pen?" Ooh, that's a nice pen. Let me slide it in my pocket. Can I? Listen, pass me some of those sweet and lows down there on the table and you stick them in your pocketbook. You're a thief. Christians go to restaurants and take stuff off the table that's not theirs. I have a friend of ours, Pastor Josh knows who I'm talking about, told us one time, right sitting right there, he said, man, we ain't bought no toilet paper in a year. I said, what do you mean? He said, we grab a stack of napkins everywhere we go like this and shove them in the pocketbook. Can I tell you something? We have people to take toilet paper from this church. Miss Audrey will say, I just put so and so many rolls in there. I say, well, they're gone. You know what happens? People come to Carpenter Shop Church and steal toilet paper. Christians. Let's think on that one for a few minutes. Happy New Year. Okay? People leave the Family Life Center, grab a stack of napkins 2 inches thick. People finish eating. The first thing they want to know, you got to take out tray? No! Why are you doing this? Get a job. So you can do something useful with your hands. So you'll have something to give away. Because God wants to bless you so much that you have an abundance. And you won't have to have sticky fingers. Stop stealing. Somebody say, nice sermon, Pastor. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Or you do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived here, man. Take the blinders off your eyes. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy. And just when you think, well, I'm glad I'm not on that list. Keep reading, honey. You're in there. Nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers. You just do that with your lips. Nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you do the study here, and the Galatian list will eat your lunch too. Well, if you do the study here and you study the original language, it is, he's talking about these people who do this, and here's the clincher, and keep on doing this. After you've come to a knowledge of Christ and you're serving the Lord, now you do this and you keep on doing it. To him that knows to do right and chooses rather to do wrong, to him it is sin. Thank you. So if you know it's wrong and you keep on doing it, you're living in sin. Paul's writing to the church. He's not writing to a bunch of meatheads that hadn't come to Jesus yet. He's writing to folk who come to church, came to the altar, said, I love the Lord. I give him my heart, my soul. Now Paul's writing a letter saying, man, get your act together. Stop stealing. That's a list we don't like to look at, but Paul reminds us that you can't inherit the kingdom of God and have sticky fingers and a whole lot of other stuff. Verse 29. Pastor, please quit. No, I'm going to get through chapter 4. And you better not get up and leave, though we'll know why you did. Verse 29. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Let that sink in for a second. But only, somebody say only. What is helpful for building others up. Lauren sat right here and ministered this to you this morning from the keyboard. Holy Spirit already set it up. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In other words, what comes from your mouth needs to be of benefit to people. It should help folk. The King James uses the word here for unwholesome talk. King James, I checked this out and studied it. It uses the word for rotten. In other words, it would read like this. Do not let rotten talk come out of your mouth. The word is also translated putrefied, raw. Don't let raw talk come out of your mouth. And some of y'all's tongue-speaking Christians don't think you can get by the day without watching Jerry Springer or Maury. Who's the baby's daddy? Shut up. Do you know that these fools, these idiots, are paid to get on television and act like fools and idiots? And you're going to waste your precious time watching these boneheads. Hold on, I'll be there in a minute. I got to find out who the daddy is. Like it's going to change your world? Man, I've gotten to the place you can't go in one of the restaurants here in town. That's all they play. Television running. I don't even want to eat there no more because all they watch is stupid stuff like that. Give me the Young and the Restless. At least there's a streamline to it, okay? Bless your heart, Victor. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't let rotten talk. Don't let putrefied talk. Don't let raw talk come out of your mouth. Or be posted on your social media. I've actually done this. And you say, well, you sure do mention social media a lot. It's the sin of the day. I've actually contacted people in this church privately. And I've private message them, hey, Pastor Wallace here, like you don't know. Did you see what was on your feed? Or what are you doing? I contacted someone just a week or so ago. What are you doing? What do you mean? I said, look at your post. You say, well, that's managing people. I did it, felt led to do it. Somebody needs to say something to you. Man, get a life. You know what people are looking at? You ask an employer. Ask an employer here. And ask Nancy Shamley or Melvin Shamley. Ask them what they look at when somebody turns in an application. The application's useless. Just go to the office down the hall. Hey, look this person up on Facebook. You can find out more information off their Facebook than you can by that application that they lied on. Because you see how people live. And I've contacted people in this church privately. Hey, you're better than this, man. You're better than this. You need to stop doing this. And you know what else I've done? If you go to a person's page and it's got their name up there, John Doe or Jane Doe, there's three dots up in the right-hand corner. Click on those dots, check friends, and unfollow them. Like I said, I don't follow people that put stupid stuff up there anymore. And if it gets real bad, I'll block you. I'll block you. I will. I had a person contact one time. I can't believe you blocked me. I said, believe it, it's true. I did. I blocked you. Why did you block me? Pull your feet up. Pull it up. I mean, we're dealing with humanity here. Some people got seven Facebook pages. You don't know which one to click on. You know why? Because they had stuff up there that they shouldn't have, and they just got tired of it, so open another one. We got people that can't keep a cell phone number for more than 30 days. They got another number. Hey, I got a new phone. No, you didn't pay your last bill, stupid. I got a new number like you got a new nice phone. No, you didn't pay your last bill. You stole. And you just think that if it lays there long enough, it'll go away. It ain't going away. It's coming back on Judgment Day. When you stand before God and the books are open, he's going to say to you, what about your cell phone bill with Verizon? Merry Christmas. You say, Pastor, you need to preach the word. I am very plain and simple this morning. I'm preaching the word of God. Don't let unwholesome talk, and better yet, don't post unwholesome stuff on your page. But only what's helpful. Matter of fact, you say, well, have you struggled with that before? I posted something about 3 weeks ago that I thought was cute. And as soon as I posted it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and you know what I did? I went back and took it off. How many of y'all ever done that besides me? Come on, tell the truth. I took it off. Why? Because somebody else would have judged me based on that cute post. So I said, that ain't worth it. Don't let it happen. Let's drop down to verses 31, 32. What time is it? Anybody got a watch? The last two verses of this chapter. That means we're near the end. And it's only 10 minutes to 12. Baptist ain't even got out yet. The last two verses of chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness. Then he says, it builds rage, anger, brawling, slander. And then he says, just every form of malice. And be kind, man. Be compassionate to each other. Forgive each other. I highlighted these two words, bitterness and unforgiveness. Why? Because unforgiveness comes from bitterness. If you study the passage in Hebrews that says you need to get rid of these things because they will be seeds to come springing up. You have to get rid of those things. You have to pull them out because they will start producing and they'll grow. And everybody will know that you're growing unforgiveness. Why? Because you won't keep your mouth shut about it every time you get around somebody. That's all you want to talk about. You got to tell your story about how she did you wrong. So you need to nip it in the bud. You need to deal with the bitterness. Why is it that you are bitter? And get rid of it. Toss it in the trash. Get rid of it. Paul seems to focus on this subject here that we have to mention it. You can't read through this and skip over it. He says bitterness will result in anger and brawling and slander. You need to forgive. Some of y'all are dealing with stuff, family stuff. I had to work through my own issues in the holiday this year with little family stuff. Sit there and talk about it until tears come running down my face. Guess what? You got some issues to deal with, bud. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. If it hurts, say it hurts. And get it out of your system. Throw it in the trash. And then try to approach it next time in a different manner. We need to toss these things in the trash, opening up a new season of life that is aligned with the Spirit of God in purity, righteousness, holiness, and peace. Aligned with the Word of God. Musicians, come and help me here. Aligned with a life patterned after Christ, to be Christ-like. Let me just close by reading the first five verses of chapter 5. You've turned the page. You go to chapter 5. Here's what it says. So follow God's example. See, really 4 and 5 should just keep on rolling. Chapters and verses are placed there for us to find our place real quick. He says, follow God's example. Listen to Paul's heart here. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Man, just as Christ loved you, he gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. But among you, Paul's begging here. He says, man, but among you, there shouldn't even be a hint. Somebody say hint. There shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality. But among you, who's he talking about? Christians. He says, you set the standard. But among you, there shouldn't even be a hint of sexual immorality. I walked into a place of business one day in another city, and I walked up behind a man of God that I know, and he was standing there in a magazine rack looking at things that were totally inappropriate. And I didn't say anything to him. I left the convenience store where I purchased my drink and was heading down the road. And the Holy Spirit said to me, call him up. I said, what, Lord? He said, call him up. I said, why? He said, because he saw you. You don't think he did, but he saw you. Because I was going to let it go because I said, he didn't see me. And the Holy Spirit said, call him up. I got about 5 miles down the road, Pastor Travis, and I pulled over on the side of the road. I took the phone. I called him. I said, hey, you know what he said? I was expecting you to call me. Thank you. He said, I was wrong, man. Please forgive me. I'm struggling with this. And it opened up a door for me to have a relationship with him and help him through this. And to my knowledge today, it's not an issue. Okay? Every night you have the world throw sexual immorality at you. Okay? Every night. Christmas holidays. I mean, what do all these women have to do with a pair of underwear? Victoria's Secret. I found out what her secret is. It's pornography. That's what her secret is. It's no secret no more. She's into porn. Hello? Anybody here? Don't check out on me now. It's altar time. Victoria's secret has been revealed. She uses pornography to sell bras and panties. Not a secret. Next commercial. Having problems in the sexual department? Just call for a sample. It's television at night. Just wanting you to fall into some sort of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. It's improper for God's holy people. Throw it in the trash. You can't listen to a sermon like this and not do inventory. It's impossible. This sermon came to me in about 5 minutes. I was just reading the Bible this week in Ephesians. And the Lord said, this is where I want you to go. Talk about a new year. I said, well, that's next week, Lord. He said, yeah, but let's get some stuff straight before we turn the corner and turn the page of the calendar. Clean up. Throw it out with the trash. Time to just walk into a new season next Sunday. Brand new year. Walk into a new season. Clean. I think you used that this morning. Clean. I'm clean. Say I'm clean. This message, listen, if you sit here this morning and you say, man, he's just beating on us. You're wrong. I'm not beating on you. This is all of us. I'm not beating on you. This is the truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. I'm not beating on anyone. Not here to beat on you. I'm here to tell you. Paul says, listen, because this is improper for God's people. I'm here to say, listen, you can speak positive things. When the worship team was doing those songs this morning, I stood there this morning. I said, Lord, thank you for washing this over my life. The songs they were singing today. I'm never going back. Okay? You know my name. Every song they sung this morning, I said, Lord, thank you for washing these words over my spirit. Just washing me. It's like taking a shower. Come here this morning, take a shower. Just wash over me these words. Because you hear enough negativity. And you listen to what you sing. And you become clean. Listen, is there anybody here this morning, just before we go any further in the altar? Anybody? Pastor, I really don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I'd like to. I don't have it right, but I'd like to make it right. Anyone at all? Come on, throw your hand up. Anyone? We'll help you. We're here to help you today. Anyone at all? Throw your hand up. I want to get it right, Pastor. Anyone at all? Well, then the rest of us are faced with Paul's letter here. And I'm going to put this trash can right here. You got a piece of paper in your pocketbook, in your pocket? Just as an act of faith, just take a piece of paper out, a little scratch pad. Just don't use your checking account or your checkbook. If you do, tear your name off of it. Just write down there, anger, pornography, stealing. Write it, whatever it is, write it down. And as an act, just write it down, fold it up. and just as an act of faith and accountability to the Holy Spirit, just write it down there and walk up to this trash can this morning and say, you know what? I'm throwing this away, man. I'm throwing this away. I'm not doing this anymore. If you could even do just one letter, just a letter T or an S or whatever, just, you don't have to write it out. The Lord knows what you mean. And just, hey, I'm just throwing it in the trash. Just gonna throw it in the trash. Throw it in the trash. My initial idea was to get a metal trash can and set this booger on fire. But I thought, man, what if the church caught on fire this morning while I was preaching? That wouldn't work very well. Power of techniques. So let the Holy Spirit, look at that. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Check that out. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. I'm throwing this away, man. Jealousy. Unforgiveness. Bitterness. Thievery. Bad talk, nasty mouth, lying. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, guys, sing it.
The atmosphere is changing.
Yes, it is. All around.
The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds.
Come on, stand to your feet and begin to worship God. Worship him.
You're the reason we came to encounter your love surrounds us.
Spirit of God, for praise.
but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. We're healed. Whatever you dropped in this trash, Jesus stretched his arms out and said, "It is finished." Okay? Finished. Okay? Finished. Jared, go grab me a trash bag out of the men's bathroom. Just bring me a trash can out of the men's bathroom. Take that. Here you go. Take that and shove it down in that dumpster. A truck is going to pick that up on Tuesday. They're going to take it to the landfill and put it down there where the rest of all the garbage is. When you walk out of here today, listen. When you walk out of here today, when you leave those doors and get out of this church, when you get in your car, just say, "Father, I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to throw this in the trash. And as I leave this place today, I walk out of here in newness of life. And the stuff that you wrote down on the paper should never, ever, ever be an issue for you again. Or as death is in vain." He said, "It is finished." Okay? So, Lord, we just thank you that this morning addictions are broken, lies become truth, stealing becomes giving. You are reversing all these things. Unwholesome talk becomes blessing. Lord, all of these things become new because we choose together to put off the old self and take on the new self, which is daily being renewed. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you be blessed. No, there is no New Year's Eve service. However, Wednesday night, somebody say Wednesday. Wednesday night, regular classes, regular ministry, regular Bible study. Okay? Wednesday night. And God bless you. We'll see you next year in 2019. God bless you. Hey, please, one more thing. I forgot. Pastor Anoli's coming. Just hold your seat for just a second. Thank you, Pastor Anoli. He's got an announcement concerning Speed the Light. Great today, encouragement. Listen.
Today is the last Sunday for the youth to meet their goal for Speed the Light, and we're so thankful for all of you that have given so far. If you have not heard about it, Speed the Light is a missions ministry that equips missionaries with vehicles and equipment to share the gospel. And at youth convention, the youth decided they wanted to support, specifically through Speed the Light, a ministry that rescues women from human trafficking. And at youth convention, they spoke about dreaming big. And then they said to the kids, how much do you want to raise for Speed the Light? And they told me $5,000. I said, excuse me? $5,000 by December 31st. And so far, we have raised $2,600. Can we just give God a big hand for that? And so they have a table set up today. They've created flyers, and you can go and vote on which flyer you think is the best. Each flyer has information about human trafficking. So just go by and vote. And if you haven't given yet or you'd like to give again, you'll have an opportunity to do that at the table. Thank you, and God bless.